studio, Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of them. Five-star Google reviews, sore feet. What are you waiting for?
I'm trying to do it like Trance. I heard him on the way in. I was like, he's just killing the reeds today.
We killed it in a bad way.
Oh, I guess I won't do it like him. Anyway, find your perfect fit at Kintech.net.
He went, what are you waiting for? It's a little too much.
Add some drama to it. I don't know. Got Ben Bisran here as well, producing the show.
I'm going to pronounce his name
correctly.
Thanks
for the pronunciation. That was really good.
You know what? I've been practicing, putting in some work in the lab, mainly because 650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line, seems to be getting mad when I pronounce names correctly.
She loves.
They're like, no, don't say it that way.
As someone who has the same letter at the beginning of the last name as Arter's.
See,
it's the right way to say it.
I will say, you were the first one last year. You were like, we should be calling him She Loves. And
everyone was like, no, Dom, you're an idiot. And I'm like, no, that's what that little hook on the S is for.
Well, I think we all acknowledge that's how it's supposed to be said. But he said She Loves to start. And then,
yeah, Pedersen said Peterson, too.
Yeah, we ignored him.
Yeah.
We said, hey, get out of here, Elias.
And then we went to Arter's. We were like, no.
No, you can do what you want, buddy.
Yeah.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep those texts coming in for the show. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. You might notice Bick Nazar isn't here again.
Yeah, get well soon, Bick.
He's sick.
He's on the mend. He's, you know, I texted him today. He's getting better.
Good. Good to hear. Hopefully he's back tomorrow, but we're here again today.
We'll Masters week.
It is,
by the way,
Masters week.
Maybe he's faking it.
So I texted Riccio about this today.
Oh,
because I was like, man, you should have planned this better. Thursday, Friday, you should have been out sick. Think of all the golf you would have had to watch.
You could fake having an illness and then be out for 2 weeks.
So he's just planting seeds right now. Yeah. You think?
Oh, I got worse.
Came back with a vengeance.
Meanwhile, you hear the piano in the background. What you doing there, Dan?
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, is that Jim Nance in the background, Riccio?
That's a sketch doing Augusta National.
Hello, friends. Brother.
Hello, friends.
Anyway, today on the show, Yannick Hansen will join us, as he does every Tuesday.
Pressure makes diamonds.
And I love pressure.
I love pressure.
And we'll get into everything from last night's game and more. But right now, it is time for the tea.
Piping hot tea, Josh Elliott Wolf. Dan Riccio faking sick to watch the Masters.
Breaking news. We figured him out.
This rumor has legs.
No, it doesn't. If he's too much of a, I know Riccio and I know he doesn't like being sick. Like, he doesn't like taking days off. So him taking these days off is probably going to stop him from even considering taking Thursday, Friday off. But we'll see. I don't know. The Canucks don't play those days too. It would have been such a veteran move.
Just saying.
Anyway, time for the tea.
The first bit of tea. The vibes are back, Josh. The Canucks defeat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3. Besser scores his 40th goal. Miller nets his 100th point.
You're going to say 1,000?
No.
His 1,000th point of the season.
Garland had 2 goals in his 400th game, and those sweet, sweet t-shirts look even better in person.
I'm so glad that they won, because if they hadn't won, they would not have worn the t-shirts after the game. You know?
That would have been so funny.
Could you imagine JT Miller walks out for a post-game interview all mad, but he's wearing Connor Garland 400th game shirt?
An absurdly large neck, if I might add. Like, if you look at the t-shirt,
like the neck
Garland's
line?
Neck is thick.
Have you looked at Connor Garland in general?
It's not that thick.
Look at Connor Garland.
No, but this is comedically thick.
I'll look it up.
Okay, this is great radio.
anyway.
Big game last night. They're
it was
back,
a big
baby.
Game. That's just Connor
They're
Garland's
back.
Neck, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
It's big.
They are back. And here's what I'll say. Going into the game yesterday, after our show, I was talking to Victor because I was producing Canuck Central. He's like, what do you think is going to happen tonight? I'm like, I don't know, man. At this point, it just feels like the games don't matter. Like, even if they win, are we going to be like, oh, big takeaways? And if they lose, whatever.
Trance called it the biggest win of the year.
But then I watched the game. We got through the game. And I was like, you know what? They answered pretty much every question I had about them in one game. And it was such
Sans
a...
for one.
What? Sorry?
Sans for one.
What one?
Artur Shilov's floor.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
That first goal was awful.
First goal was bad.
Anyway, go ahead. I had to point out the flaw in your analysis yesterday.
Well, I said he had a low floor. Low floor, high ceiling.
I did. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. But essentially every question was answered. And it was such a convincing win that we can take a lot more than I thought we would have been able to away from the victory. And yes, it's a 4-3 win, but you come back from 2-0 down, cut that lead. Vegas goes ahead again, up 3-2, and then you score twice, you win. Also, the power play, had a lot of questions about that. It looked very good last night. Scored a couple goals, and they were moving. Like, the movement was good. They were getting screens in front. I was very confident watching the power play. And in recent games, yes, they've been scoring on the power play, but they haven't. The process hasn't been as good as you'd like to see from a team heading into the postseason. But I thought yesterday the process against a very good team, and yes, they were trying to figure out how to fit in Tomas Hertl, and maybe that played a part in the struggling PK, because I think he was on for both of the power play goals.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it's still, even if we can make the excuse of like, oh, Hertl was there, whatever, it's still the confidence building power play. The process was still good. I still have no issues whatsoever ever with how that power play ran. And then Brock Besser, 40th goal, realizing his potential, everything coming true.
Think about where we were a year ago.
It was a bad spot. It was a bad spot.
To be where we are now, where Besser has 40 goals, Garland is a fan favorite.
They were chanting his name.
Yeah.
Connor Garland.
Yeah. Shouts to the Larshiders, by the way. Good job last night.
Got it going. Connor Garland.
Yeah.
Getting his name chanted.
Both players requested trades.
Yeah. And like, we can debate whether or not there was an actual trade request. But regardless, there was talk about them leaving Vancouver and the Canucks essentially, from everything we've heard, not being able to give them away for free, even if they wanted to.
The agents had to go out and search and help.
And they weren't able to find anything. They were like, guys, nobody wants these players. Sorry. And the Canucks were like, whatever. We'll just bring them back.
You know what really impressed me last night and what put my doubts at ease? Now, I still have some questions about Elias Pettersson. I need to see that
in
the playoffs.
He was very good last night.
He was. But I want to see it in the playoffs. The resilience of this team.
Yes. And that's something
when they were down 2-0. That first goal went in on Arthur's, and I was like, I looked at Murph, and I was like, here we go again. Another game. And then as you're watching, you're realizing, like, oh, no, like, this team wants to win. I think, having watched the game, take it in the post-game media scrums, it's very clear to me, Josh, this club and these players are not used to this position at the end of the year. If you listen to them talk, especially JT and even Connor.
First name basis with these guys.
Sure. Yeah. Miller and Garland. Are you happy?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
The fact that they needed a little pick-me-up or something like to jazz up a mid-season game in the t-shirts.
They
mentioned it in the scrum.
They said,
like, oh, it made me excited to come to the rink. It gave us something to look forward to. That statement alone kind of puts things into perspective for this club, where it's like you have this slog of a season. We're now into April. Everybody just wants to get to the playoffs. Guys are probably dinged up, hurt, playing through niggling injuries. We've got guys who are on the mend. It's very clear to me that this club and these players, with the inexperience that they have, especially this core, is not used to being in this position near the end of the year. And that is directly contributed to their par performance throughout the last, 10 games?
Yeah.
Like, they go from subpar to good to subpar to good. It's just back and forth.
So you're making the case that they have been kind of coasting in the last
Very month. Much so.
And
And I think last night's commentary and rhetoric, it all put it into perspective. When this team has something to play for, and they should still have something to play for, the division title is on the line.
And you haven't been in this, you haven't been in a playoff race before.
Yeah.
I would have thought that the intensity would
ratchet
have
up.
Picked up by now.
Yeah. So here we are. There's what, 4 games left in the season?
Yep.
Look, I think everyone can put their qualms at ease.
You're on board now?
I think you can be a little excited. A little more excited than we have been in the last few games watching this club and having listened to the post-game show and listening to the fans and their concerns. I think it's obvious that this club has it in them. They just need the motivation. So, that being said, it is concerning that winning the division doesn't seem to be motivation enough to break through that slog of a long season.
I think it's hard at times as well to... If you're a player, you're like, yeah, winning the division would be great.
But I feel like that's lip service. You know, it's like, who cares? Honestly, at the end of the day, who cares if you win the division or not if you're a player? You're going to have to play one of Vegas, Nashville, LA, or Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
None of them is a win. All of them are equally bad, in my opinion.
Nashville is a little bit easier, in my opinion.
I don't think they are.
I think Nashville.
But the point remains. It's like, cool, you win the division. It's a nice accolade. For a club like the Canucks, it's cool because you haven't done it in so long. Maybe you hang a banner like they haven't in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But to the players, it's like, regular season success, does it mean anything?
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, we can talk about, hey, you want to play for the division, it should matter. But also in the same point, we're like, well, do players really care about this? They probably care about getting home ice advantage and making sure that they're playing a lower seed and all that. But do you think they really care about first or second place in the Pacific? They should, I think. But I don't know if it's something that they get up for in terms of, like, they're going to the rink and they're like, oh, we got to win this game to gain another couple points on Edmonton. Now, if it came down to this Saturday's game deciding the division for the season, which it very well might still, and we'll get into a little bit more in the tee, this Saturday's game against Edmonton, if it decided the division, I think they would get up for it. And it, regardless of,
yeah,
hey, even if it's salted away by then, which...
They need 2 of the next 4, I think the math suggests.
Even if it's salted away by then, I think that's still going to be a very, very competitive game, and the Canucks should hopefully have Thatcher Demko back for it as well. But it is, I'll agree with you. It was encouraging to see that when there's something to play for and you're trying to prove who you are in the league, that they got up for it. What I will say is, I don't know if there's a huge difference between what was at stake last night compared to what was at stake on Saturday against LA. And maybe it's different because, hey, it was Connor Garland's 400th game, whatever. And they got up for it. But it is encouraging to see that they still have this level of play in them. And I think I agree with Drance based on everything going into the game and where they were kind of stumbling into it. That might be the most impressive win of the season for the Vancouver Canucks.
You ready for the exercise?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's exercise.
Before we get to the next bit of
tea. It's the body break.
If the Canucks play the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round, predict the series. How many games? Who wins?
Oh. If they play the Vegas Golden Knights
in
round 1.
Yes.
How many games and who wins?
Mm-hmm.
Between the Vancouver Canucks and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Okay, are you stalling?
I'm stalling a little bit. I'm going to say, and Ben, feel
this
free.
This is just off the cuff.
Yeah.
So
you want me to go quick?
Yeah.
I'm going
to
say Vancouver in
7. Vancouver in 7, okay.
Especially if it's the first round.
Agree.
Okay. Nashville Predators.
Vancouver in 6.
I'm going to say Vancouver in 5.
Wow, that's... Really?
I'm very out on Nashville.
My goodness. Okay, Vancouver against the LA Kings.
LA in 6. LA in 6?
LA in 6. You guys are like twinsies. This is cute. And then finally, it's the least likely to happen, but we'll just put it out there. Anyway, Vancouver and Edmonton.
Vancouver in 7.
I don't even...
What? Wow, okay.
I was going to say Edmonton in 7. And that this would probably be a second round matchup, Edmonton-Vancouver, if it were to happen. But regardless, Edmonton in 7, though it would be close. It would be close. I almost...
So bet. Interesting. We say LA is the one team we both agree the Canucks would lose to.
In the first round. Yeah. Like Nashville right. and Vegas, I think the Canucks...
Styles make fights, as Randeeps like to say.
Yeah. And LA just, man, they've neutralized the Canucks every game.
And Max Talbot.
Even watching how the Canucks... even watching the Canucks played last night, like they looked, for lack of a better word, like free. And when they play LA, they look just so clogged up, they can't get anything going. Like the Canucks last night could generate at least some momentum, some opportunities. Yeah. Like Garland's goals, like he was around the net, he could get free a little bit. That just doesn't seem to happen against the Kings. And so I think it'd be really hard for them to win a 7-game series against LA.
We'll ask Yannick Hansen about this as well. Would he rather play LA or Vegas in the first round? Because I think that's the bigger conversation now is like, hey, Vegas might be more talented, but LA is, they just figured out how to play the Canucks. They're playing playoff hockey already. That would be a scary team to play. And of the three, like Nashville, I just feel like, When you talk about teams that are like, hey, happy that they made the playoffs, content, Nashville feels like the most, hey, we made it, guys. And then they'll maybe take a foot off the gas. Whereas the Canucks, I think, could take advantage of that. As opposed to Vegas, LA are both trying to go on these deep playoff runs.
Next bit of tea, since we're talking about them. Connor McDavid is day-to-day, likely out versus Vegas, should play on the weekend against the Canucks. The team is focusing on playoff success and parking season success. Should we put the Pacific Division into the bag?
If Vegas wins tomorrow, I'm saying yes. Then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Especially based on, like, Edmonton plays 5 games in 7 days to end the season.
Yeah, they're only at 76 games played.
That is insane. Yeah. And look, two of them are against, like, obviously, they play Vegas tomorrow. They play Vancouver on Saturday, and they play the Avalanche to end the year. And maybe that game at the end of the year...
Mean nothing.
It might be a mean nothing game, so maybe it doesn't matter. They also play Arizona twice and the Sharks.
Yeah.
Theoretically, those are 6 easy points.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Canucks... Or sorry, if the Oilers lose tomorrow, and by all accounts, it seems like they're not going to have Connor McDavid against a Vegas team that... is still kind of pushing right now and trying to work their way back up the standings. I wonder if Vegas has something to prove tomorrow and they put the boots to Edmonton without McDavid.
And finally, Thatcher Demko back at practice today. Shouldn't be in tomorrow, from all accounts. We don't believe. Maybe. Yes. No. Yes. No.
Should not be back tomorrow.
Lindholm is day to day.
Lindholm day to day.
Also spoke today at practice.
So the other thing I was thinking last night, I was watching the game, as I do. I didn't just come in without watching the game. That would be silly. Saturday, I was thinking, man, like even with Lindholm and Demko, I don't know if the Canucks are like in a position to succeed in the playoffs. In terms of like they're not going in hot. I don't know if they're ready for this, even with Lindholm and Demko. But
negative
then I watched
Nancy over here.
Well, I just mean like it would be very difficult. But then I watched last night, and maybe I'm making too many snap decisions.
As you're prone to.
I do. Last night I was watching, and I was like, man, this team is good. And then you add Lindholm and Demko.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that could be the thing that puts them over the edge. And I could go back and forth with it, but it does feel like this team with Thatcher Demko, like a couple of those goals last night probably don't go in. It's an even more convincing win for the Canucks. And Lindholm, look, like... the penalty kill has had moments of struggle. Lindholm is a key piece on that penalty kill. He's a key piece on the third line. Teddy Bluger isn't providing a lot of offense right now. Not that Lindholm was putting up a bunch of points, but he has the capability to put up more points. Especially, we didn't mention him, but Ilya Mikheyev. I thought he had a great game last night.
I thought it was his best game of 2024.
I agree. And nice. So you put Mikheyev, who seems to have found a step and has regained some confidence, with Lindholm, who hopefully he's a little more healthy. Maybe he's figured some stuff out in this time off. Put them together. I'm just interested to see how that works. It'd be a very good defensive line, and maybe there's some offense there as well.
A checking line of Lindholm, Suter, Mikheyev as your third line, I think would be really hard to go against. There was one play last night. Jack Eichel on the power play had the puck at the blue line. He was kind of walking the blue line a bit. And Mikheyev was hounding him, was all over him, puck gets loose, Canucks clear it down the ice. And I remember just thinking, like, he's moving his feet, he's keeping up it. That's Jack Eichel. That's a top-tier defensive play. And I know once we get Lindholm back as well, the Canucks then have a right shot or right-handed guy for the faceoffs. How many faceoffs did they lose at the end of the game there after icing the puck? Miller couldn't seem to win one on his offside. You get Lindholm back, and those faceoffs become so important, especially in the postseason. So then you can have Miller on the left side and Lindholm on the right side to take just important draws down the stretch.
Let me put it to you this way. So once you get into the playoffs, there's going to be hard matchups, right? Mm-hmm. As there always are. If you're an opposing team against the Vancouver Canucks, are you hard matching the Miller line or the Pettersson line?
Against the other team's most...
No.
Against their checking line?
How do other teams put their checking line? Against the Miller line or the Pettersson line?
Miller line.
If you put it against the Miller line, does that not theoretically open up Elias Pettersson in the playoffs?
It should. And that's why I think a lot of fans have looked at it and been like, man, you got to get going, because other teams are going to look at Miller as the guy that got 100 points and is in a more prime offensive... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
In the zone?
He's in the zone at the moment.
His bag.
Yeah, he's in his... Yeah, there we go. Yeah. He's in his prime offensive bag.
Don't... Why are you face-palming, Ben?
Anyway.
Why? Explain yourself. Why?
No reason. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
But
when you're here.
We have seen encouraging signs from Pettersson lately. I think last night was a very, very good game from him.
Yeah.
And so if that line of Hoglander, Pettersson, Besser can keep it going into the postseason... You have two legitimate offensive lines, and then you have a very good matchup line as well. That's very, very encouraging.
Tell me if I'm crazy. Would you not match Miller's line against the opposing team's top line? As like a checking line?
No. If Lindholm is healthy, I would match Lindholm against the top line.
I agree.
And like Miller, like realistically, you're not giving Lindholm all those minutes. You'd probably give Miller the secondary minutes, but in terms of, hey, this is a crucial moment in the game, I'm putting Lindholm and whoever he's with out against the other team's top. Maybe you put Lindholm and Miller together.
Maybe, yeah.
But
Vegas still scored twice last night on the power play.
Yeah.
So like getting Lindholm back for that reason is also huge.
Certainly, yeah.
Let's read a few texts before we go. Here's a positive one and then a negative one and then one that we might answer on the other side. This one from Brendan. Positive one. Are we crazy to think that the experienced coaching staff has told them to relax a bit because they were obviously going to make the playoffs and to save fuel for the postseason? Florida was gassed in the final. Maybe there is a mastermind behind the slow play. Edmonton is scary close and the Canucks are now cranking it up to seal the Pacific. There was talk from Rick Tocchet being like, hey, I think I maybe was focusing on the playoffs a little bit too much, talking about it a bit too much with the guys.
Certainly, but his post-game rhetoric doesn't lend to that.
And that's why I would say, like, I don't think that was their mindset whatsoever. And this from Ian Victoria, holy moly, man, quote, they're not trying. That's absolute crap. They have been losing to top 10 teams, which might make you wonder if they have it or not. Of course they want to win the division. Every milestone is a feather in their cap. But how about talking about them taking the body to the mythical Vegas Knights? The Canucks were on them and hitting across the lineup, but no, they're just coasting. Gotta wonder about you two. We're not saying they're just coasting.
Did the words "they're not trying" come out of our mouths? I don't think
no.
It did.
So. It was more of a... Especially against Vegas, they were trying, and that was encouraging to see. They were, to Ian's point, putting a lot on the line. They were playing the body. I think they were very physical, and they played their style of game against the Vegas Golden.
If anything, we were talking about motivation during a slog of a season.
Yes. The argument wasn't that they were coasting or not trying. It's more of a question of...
How do you get up
of,
game to game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were they motivated in these games to... as the season rolls on? And that's just a natural question for most teams. And I would make the argument that the Canucks should have been more motivated in recent games. And in these last four, I think we need to see what they did last night carry over. We'll read a couple more texts on the other side, but also Yannick Hansen going to join us. It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schmatti, Sportsnet 650.